Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio, coming to you from the OU Israel Center in Yerushalayim. This week's show is for Parshat Chayei Sarah, also known as Chayei Sarah. We've spoken about those accents in the past. It is Kaf Bet Cheshvan, the 22nd of the month of Cheshvan, 5766, and it is the 24th of November, 05. Being the last Thursday of November, it is, in the American calendar, Thanksgiving. I grew up in Brooklyn, specifically in Crown Heights, and I remember the official party line, so to speak, about Thanksgiving in my kind of circles. And that was, in the Jewish religion, every day is Thanksgiving. You get up in the morning and you say, Modeh Ani Lefanecha, and you go through the whole day thanking God many, many times over again. So the idea of having one day of the year to thank God for different things was sort of not the Jewish way to go. Nonetheless, we did not shun Thanksgiving as a non-Jewish holiday. We didn't necessarily observe it the way that many, many Americans do, and I certainly am not criticizing Jews for observing Thanksgiving. I'm just telling you the fact that we were always aware of it. We saw the parades sometimes, certainly watched special TV programs and football games, had off from school, and all of those kind of things, but we weren't into turkey dinners. I do remember my mother, Aleha Shalom, would, on the Shabbat following Thanksgiving, make a meatloaf in the shape of a turkey, or something like that. I probably will be challenged by my brothers with that kind of memory, but we'll see. I also remember being taught by my parents that we should appreciate the fact of this idea that there is a God, and he should be thanked for things, even if it was not exactly expressed in the way that we were used to. So Thanksgiving was one of those good days, in a totally different style. July 4th and Memorial Day were totally secular and American, and they were okay. And, of course, in contrast to other calendar dates that were national holidays in the States, but of religious nature, we certainly did not participate in any kind of way. Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir hama'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shimavikoli tihiena aznecha kashuvot lakol tachanunai. Imavonot tishmorya Adonai miya amod. Ki imacha haslicha lama'an tivarei. Kiviti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvaro ho'cholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim la'boker, shomerim la'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai ha'chesed v'harbe imo fedut. V'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achinu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara v'ashivya ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha. Hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotzieim mitzara l'yirvacha u'miafela l'ora u'mishibud l'geula. Hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. Somebody yesterday at Mincha challenged me as to why we keep saying Shir Hamalot, Psalm 130. I said because of the precarious matzav situation that we find ourselves in. He said, hey, there's probably going to be elections, so, and I said, so, we'll have to wait and see what happens as a result of that, and then we will consider whether there is a more appropriate psalm to recite. I happen to think that if Torah Tidbits Audio continues forever and forever, I think we still should have a psalm recited on each show. And I've said this many times, this is not canned, pre-recorded piece. I say it as a prayer, not as a soundbite. And I hope that people join me in that prayer, calling out to God to answer all of our prayers. But that's the formula that we have on this show. It includes the recitation of a psalm, And so far, it's 130 Mima Amakim. We'll see what the future holds. I said that it was Parshat Chaye Sarah this week. I forgot to mention, I didn't really forget, I was saving it. I didn't mention that it was also Shabbat Mevorachim, the Shabbat that we bless and announce the new month coming. Rosh Chodesh Kislev, we will say this Shabbat, will be next Friday. Haba Aleinu Latova. So in Torah Tidbits style, let me share some observations of the calendar. I hold that besides these observations, which are fun if you go in for that kind of stuff, any study of the Jewish calendar that brings a person more acquainted with it and more comfortable with it is part of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of the Torah, HaChodesh HaZelachem, Rosh Chodashim. This month of Nisan, the month that you will come out of Egypt, is the first of your months. And part of that is to set up the calendar, a mitzvah that was obligatory on the Sanhedrin, the representatives of the people. But part of it is obligatory upon us to know how this calendar works. So what I discovered about Rosh Chodesh Kislev, it has by far the most varieties of days of the week that it can fall. In contrast, let's take a normal Rosh Chodesh. You'll see what I mean by normal. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Since I just mentioned HaChodesh HaZelachem Rosh Chodashim, let's start with the first of the months, Nisan. The bulk of the fixed calendar is arranged so that any given date can fall on 4 days of the week from time to time, and there are 3 days of the week that it cannot fall. This is not true of every single date on the calendar, but the overwhelming majority of the dates. And Rosh Chodesh Nisan follows that pattern, as you'll see in a moment. Rosh Chodesh Nisan can be a Sunday, a Tuesday, a Thursday, or a Shabbat. Note that Rosh Chodesh Nisan in our fixed calendar is always 1 day, because the Adar that precedes Nisan always has 29 days, and the rule for that is 1 day Rosh Chodesh for the coming month. Rosh Chodesh Nisan cannot, in our fixed calendar, fall on a Monday, a Wednesday, or a Friday. Lo bidu, which happens to be the rule for Pesach, which is exactly 2 weeks after Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Note further that of the 4 days that most dates can fall, 3 of them are roughly the same frequency, and 1 of them is rarer by half, roughly. For Rosh Chodesh Nisan and for the first day of Pesach, it is Sunday that's the rarest. The occurrences on Tuesday, Thursday, and Shabbat are roughly the same frequency. We're not going to go through all the months, but a little bit more. When we get to Iyar, we're dealing with 2 days Rosh Chodesh, because Nisan always has 30 days in our fixed calendar. Therefore, its 30th day and the first day of Iyar are the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Iyar. And what you can have is a Sunday-Monday, a Monday-Tuesday, Wednesday-Thursday, and Friday-Shabbat. Those are the 4 possible 2-day Rosh Chodeshes for Iyar. In a similar form, Sivan and Tammuz of and Elul follow in different combinations either 1 day of the week, 4 of them, or 2 days of the week, one right after the other, of course, in 4 pairs. Rosh Hashanah, if we want to treat it as Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, which is its hidden kind of identity, also follows the same thing. We have the rule of Lo Adu Rosh. Rosh Hashanah cannot be a Sunday, a Wednesday, or a Friday, which means it can be a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday or Shabbat, 4 days of the week that it can fall, the first of Tishrei, and 3 days that it cannot fall in our fixed calendar. Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, a month ago, is a two-day Rosh Chodesh, and it also has its four pairs. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbat. If you think about it for a moment before we get to Kislev, there are 14 possibilities. Rosh Chodesh, when there's only one day, can be a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Shabbat. I'm talking about a generic month now. For a two-day Rosh Chodesh, you have seven pairs. You have Shabbat Sunday, Sunday Monday, Monday Tuesday, Tuesday Wednesday, Wednesday Thursday, Thursday Friday, and Friday Shabbat. Which means there are 14 possibilities altogether. And again, I say most Rosh Chodeshes, as most dates, have four that they can be and three that they don't fall on. When we get to Rosh Chodesh Kislev, our options expand because Cheshvan is a variable month. It usually has 29 days, but it sometimes has 30. Therefore, Rosh Chodesh Kislev will usually have 1 day, but sometimes 2 days. And if you look at the different year types and when Rosh Chodesh Kislev is, you find the following. Rosh Chodesh Kislev can be Sunday, can be Sunday and Monday, can be Tuesday, Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Thursday and Friday, and Friday. If you counted that, there are 7 different options out of the total possibility of 14, rather than the 4 of the other Rosh Chodeshes. However, there's an interesting phenomenon with Kislev, which is just one of the quirks of the calendar. With its 7 different possibilities, Shabbat turns out to be the only day of the week that can never be Rosh Chodesh Kislev, either the first day, the second day, or the only day. Cheshvan, let's go back to that for a moment, if you follow, could be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, which means every single day of the week, it's possible to be Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. When there's a 1 day Rosh Chodesh, that's not possible. 1 day Rosh Chodesh will be 4 possibilities and 3 not. So you have that phenomenon, we'll say. Rosh Chodesh Nisan can only fall on 4 days of the week and not 3. Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, because it is a 2 day Rosh Chodesh, happens to cover every single day of the week and its possibilities. Kislev, with even more combinations and options, doesn't touch Shabbat, and therefore it has that distinction of being a month whose Rosh Chodesh can never be Shabbat. Now, of course, I could go on and on about this, and I am resisting the temptation, but just a little tiny bit more. Rosh Chodesh Sivan is the only other month that can never be on Shabbat, but because it's a single day, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, following 29-day Iyar, then there are other days that it cannot be, meaning Shabbat, Monday, and Thursday, which turns out to be the 3 days of the week where there's Torah reading, can never be Rosh Chodesh Sivan. What's significance in that? I don't know. But these are just observations from the calendar. I would say more than enough said for this time. Remember again the Shabbat, Parshat Chaye Sarah. We bench Rosh Chodesh Kislev, which will be next Friday, as part of the Rosh Chodesh benching. We have the well-known passage, Misha Asa Nisim Lavoteinu, he who performed miracles for our ancestors, V'ga'al otam me'avdut l'cheirut, and redeemed them from slavery to freedom. Hu yigal otanu bekarov, may he redeem us soon. v'kabeitz nidachenu me'arba kanfo ta'aretz, and gather in the remnants from the four corners of the world, chaverim kol Yisrael v'nomar amen. All Jews are part of the same chevra, are all friends, are all interrelated. Let us say amen to that. And let's listen to Dedi Graucher, also known affectionately as Dedi, with Misha Asanisim.
We are the
Deddy Graucher with Misha Asani Sim from the Rosh Chodesh Benchin. Last week's Sedra of Vayera ended with the dramatic event of Akedat Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac, and the return of father and ostensibly son to normal life, if you could call it that. However, they returned to the sad fact that Sarah Imenu had died, and that's where this week's Parsha picks up the story. We are told that Sarah lived 127 years. She died in Kiryat Arba, also known as Hebron in Eretz Canaan, and Avraham had the task of arranging for the burial of Sarah and eulogizing her. The Medrash tells us that Sarah died as a result of hearing about the Akedah. It was too much for Sarah, and her soul departed her body. The Torah continues with the passage of the deal made between Avraham and the local inhabitants at the time, Bnei Chet, specifically Ephron HaChiti, where Avraham wanted very much to purchase Ma'orat HaMachpelah that was in Hebron and all of the area around it, rather than receive permission to bury the dead there, and rather than receive it even as a gift. The acquisition of Ma'orat HaMachpelah and the burial of Sarah having been accomplished, there is basically one task that remains for Avraham to fulfill in his life as the progenitor of the Jewish people, and that is the finding of a suitable shiduch, a suitable match for Yitzchak. Nothing that Avraham does or is will mean anything as the father of the Jewish people unless it transmits to the next generation, to Yitzchak, with his wife Rivka Imenu. I think we could say that Avraham Avinu realizes how much it was the team of Avraham and Sarah that defined his activity as the first Jew, or the first Jews. It required an Avraham and a Sarah, and I think Avraham understood that, in order to get things rolling. And therefore, there are two things that we find here in Chayei Sarah. One is that Avraham knows the vital need for the right match, the right mate for Yitzchak, and that will be Rivka. And I would also speculate that Avraham understood that after that task, the burial of Sarah and the finding of Rivka for Yitzchak, that he, Avraham, will become a private citizen. And sure enough, that's exactly what we see in Parshat Chayei Sarah towards the end, where after his last function as the progenitor of the Jewish people, he takes a wife, Keturah. Some say she was Hagar. He has additional children, which have no role in the Jewish people. And after telling us about that, the next thing the Torah tells us is that Avraham lived to the ripe old age of 175, and he died, and he was buried by his sons, Yitzchak as well as Yishmael. You could do the math. He was 137 when Sarah Imenu died at 127. However long it took him to take care of those two major tasks, we can only guess. But the rest of his 38 years of life, he was a regular person. No more the Avraham Avinu. It now became Yitzchak Avinu and Rivka Imenu. The Torah tells us specifically that Rivka took the place of Sarah, but I think what it also means is that Yitzchak took the place of Avraham. Before we continue on different other topics of the Sedra, let's have another listen to a different part of Rosh Chodesh benching, this time Yechadashehu, and this time by Miami Boys Choir, Yechadashehu. That was Miami Boys Choir with Yechad Hashehu from the Rosh Chodesh benching. Okay, let's explore now a favorite famous question of the Talmud and of commentaries, and that is what Eliezer did at the spring or the well when he said to God, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know how to find a suitable bride for Yitzchak, but I promised my master Avraham that I would do the job, so he comes up with the following plan. He says, God, the God of my master Abraham, do me a good deed this day, and do it for my master Avraham. Here I am at the spring of water, and the girls, the maidens of the people of this city are coming out to draw water. The girl that I will say to her, please tip your pitcher and let me drink, and she says, drink, and I will also fetch water for your camels, that is the one which you, God, have proven is the one for your servant Yitzchak, and with that I will know that you have done a chesed, an act of kindness for my master. Rashi, major commentary on the Torah, says on the spot that this would be a sign of a girl with a streak of kindness in her, and that is a trait worthy of entering the family of Avraham. Rambam, on the other hand, Maimonides, takes Eliezer to task for doing the terrible, terrible sin, which applies not only to Jews but to non-Jews as well, because it is within the category of idolatry, and that is relying on a sign or an omen. Other commentaries disagree with the Rambam's assessment of Eliezer and said this was not if a crow will caw or if a fox will cross my path, then the next girl will be the one for Yitzchak. It wasn't anything frivolous like that, anything unrelated like that. It was a test, as Rashi puts it, of a kindness, and that is the rule of thumb that he was going by in order to find a suitable bride. The Talmud does not go as far as the Rambam did, but says that Eliezer did not ask properly, and we'll see why the Gemara says that, but he was answered well because Rivka was the result. But let's get back to the Torah. The Torah says, after Eliezer's plea to God, Vayehi hu terem kila ledaber, it was actually before he finished speaking, Rivka came out, Rivka that was born to Betuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, the brother of Avraham, Vekada al Shechma, and her pitcher for the water was on her shoulder. The girl was exceedingly beautiful, and she went down to the stream and filled her pitcher and went back up. Vayoratz ha'eved likrata, Eliezer ran to her and said, please give me something to drink from your pitcher. She said, drink, sir, and she quickly lowered her pitcher. We're not talking about a little table pitcher, but a large container for water. She lowered it and gave him to drink. When he finished drinking, she said, and also for your camels, I will draw water until they have finished drinking. She ran and lowered her pitcher into the trough and went again to the well to draw more water, and she watered all of the camels. We got a winner here. Eliezer seems to have hesitated a little bit, which is good. We'll see why. He was wondering if God had caused him to succeed in his mission or not. When all of the camels finished drinking, he took a gold nose ring and two gold bracelets and gave them to this girl as a gift, and then said, who are you? Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there any place in your father's house for us to spend the night? She said that I am the daughter of Betuel, who was the son of Milcah, who gave birth to Nahor. And she said, yes, we've got plenty of hay for your camels and plenty of place to stay. The man, namely Eliezer, bowed to God, and he said, Baruch Hashem, blessed is God, the God of my master, who did not leave me without this act of chesed, without this act of kindness, and the rest of the story continues from there. The major criticism of Eliezer is that before he said to her, who are you and where do you come from, knowing that the key would be from Avraham's family, he gave her the gifts, which, if we want to say, he saw the acts of kindness, and he had just asked God for help, he received the help. So we're stuck sort of in between with different commentaries saying slightly different things here. As I said before, the Talmud says he didn't really act properly, but close enough, and he was rewarded with the correct answer, namely Rivka. We are supposed to learn from this, I guess in general, that you got to be careful what you ask for and how you ask and how you pray and how you word your pray. It always reminds me of that whole genre of genie jokes. Guy in a candy store in Brooklyn, old Jewish fellow working very hard all his life, never took a vacation, is polishing up an old Coca-Cola bottle when out comes a genie. and offers him one wish. He says, look, I'm so tied to this business, I would love to be able to get away for a nice 2-week vacation. Jeannie says, consider it done. He says, yeah, but who's going to watch the store? Jeannie said, that's part of the wish. I'll take care of everything. And the guy goes off to Florida for 2 weeks, and the genie gets behind the counter. First customer comes in, and the genie says, what'll you have? And he said, make me a malted. Genie goes, poof, you're a malted. Without doing thorough research, I'm reasonably convinced that that was the first of many, many jokes that range from nice ones to risque ones, all with the same idea. A genie giving a wish, a person asking for it, but the wording of the wish, of the request, can be interpreted two ways. One way the person meant it to be, and another way that the genie decided to interpret, perhaps literally. I'll have to admit that it's not the greatest connection here, but that's how my mind works, where Eliezer said what he said, and it could have been a disaster. He could have gotten a totally unsuitable girl. Of course, he felt if someone's going to offer him to drink and volunteer to give water to the camels, we're talking about someone who has this streak of chesed that he was looking for. That's the positive side of the coin. You know, the show appears on both Israel National Radio, Arut Sheva, as well in a slightly modified form on OU Radio or Radio U, where I was looking at the website and I found a very small Dvar Torah by the National Director of NCSY, Rabbi Stephen Berg, which gave an additional point in favor of Eliezer's action. What does it say in describing Rivka? There are certain key words in her behavior. He says to her, can I have a little water to drink? She not only gives him, but it was not reluctantly. The word that's used is vatimaher, and she hurriedly lowered her water container in order to give him to drink. And then when she voluntarily said, I will also water the camels, again, vatimaher, she quickly went repeatedly to the source of water in order to draw water for the camels. When Eliezer asks if there's a place to sleep, again, she doesn't hesitate. She doesn't drag her feet. Vatorat hana'ara, she runs to tell her mother all that has happened. She's very excited. She's very enthusiastic. She's very passionate about what she does. Where have these words been echoes from? Vatimaher, she hurried. Vatorat, she ran. 1 week ago, we read about Avraham and the way that he treats the mitzvah of hachnasat orchim, of welcoming the guests. He sees three people. He's talking to God. But when he sees those three people, vayorats, he runs to them. And he goes and tells Sarah Mahari, be quick about baking cakes for our guests. And he runs to the cattle, vayorats. And he has Yishmael quickly prepare the food for the guests. It is the combination of hospitality, of kindness, mixed with a smile, which it doesn't mention, but with a running and a hurrying to do that which is called for, that indicates a special quality which Eliezer sees in Rivka, very appropriate in her becoming part of Avraham's family. Now, just to show you that the giving her the gifts before finding out who she was really not the smartest thing Eliezer did, you can see this in his own words later when he's introduced to Betuel and to Lavan. He repeats the story of what happened at the water to them. And he says, I had hardly finished saying this in my heart, meaning to God, and Rivka comes out with her water container on her shoulders, and she goes and she draws water, and I say to her, please give me to drink. And he uses the more polite form that he used actually before. Vatimaher, and she quickly lowers the pitcher and gives him to drink and also draws for the camels. And I asked her, says Eliezer, who are you? And she told me, the daughter of Betuel, who was the son of Nachor, who was born to Milcah, and I gave her these gifts. He knows very well that it was inappropriate to give her those gifts before he found out that she was from Avraham's family. Let me make an observation in the same topic. This has always fascinated me, and I got a little bit more statistical backing for this. The name Eliezer does not appear at all in Chaye Sarah. Avraham's name appears 37 times just in Chaye Sarah. Yitzchak about 13 times. Eliezer, who's a major player in Chaye Sarah, is not named at all, which is one interesting observation. He is referred to many times, and he refers to himself many times, but he is always identified in one of two ways, as an Eved, a servant, or as an Ish, the man. He is vis-a-vis Avraham, ha-Eved. Vis-a-vis Yitzchak, ha-Eved, the servant. Occasionally he is Eved Avraham, the servant of Abraham. He is referred to as Ha'ish when he's talking to Betuel and to Lavan and to Rivka at the beginning. Which makes very good sense, because he was Avraham's servant, and as far as anyone else was concerned, he was a prominent individual, let's call him the agent or the lawyer acting on behalf of his prominent and wealthy master, so he is referred to as Ha'ish. There happen to be 9 Ha'ishes and 9 Ha'eveds, which I also found make the point even stronger, albeit he's referred to as Eved in a couple of different ways in addition. But the one verse that I like most in this topic of who is Eliezer, if he's not Eliezer, if he's just the servant or the man, is the following. I'm referring to chapter Kaf Dalid 24, verse Samach Aleph 61. Vatoka Merivka v'narotaha, Rivka and her entourage of maidens arose. Vatirkavna al hagmalim, they went on to their camels. Vatelachna acharei ho'ish, and they went after the man, Eliezer. Once Rivka agrees to do this, she becomes part of Avraham and Yitzchak's family. So the pasuk continues, Vayikach ha'eved et Rivka vayelach. Not ha'ish, but ha'eved, the servant, takes Rivka, because she is now his sort of master, and they're not just stranger to man. Ha'eved, he takes her vayelach and goes on. If any of the listeners also subscribe to Shabbat Shalom, you will see this question there, and you will have an advance handle on the answers, which will be printed in next week's issue of Shabbat Shalom, but I wanted not to leave this out, because I think it's a significant part of this piece. One additional point to add to this, Vatomer el ha'eved, she says no longer to the ish, but to the servant, the eved, when she sees Yitzchak in the distance, Mi ha'ish halazeh ha'holech basadeh lekratenu, who is that man? In other words, the ish, up until Rivka agreed to be betrothed to Yitzchak, the ish was Eliezer. Then he becomes the eved, and she asks the eved, the servant, about the new man in her life, so to speak, about Yitzchak. On a different note, the Torah describes Yitzchak going out in the evening to commune, to meditate, to talk to God in the field. This is presented to us in the Talmud as the origin of Mincha. We attribute the afternoon service to Yitzchak Avinu, as it says, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh Lifnot Erev. This does not mean that Yitzchak said Ashrei and then the Shmon Esrei and Tachanun and Olenu, but it just teaches us that the afternoon is a time for prayer, as Avraham had established that the morning was, and as Yaakov will establish the nighttime is as well. Let's have a listen to one of the tracks of a new album by Surly Ginsberg, a Simcha Services production. This track is called Chasdei Hashem. The first part comes from a pasuk in Eicha, and the second part from a pasuk in Tehillim. I found it a very pleasant song, combining these two psukim. The key word of these two psukim is chesed. This is a theme that we've mentioned in connection with Avraham and Sarah and Rivka, and therefore we will include this song in Torah Tidbits audio for Parshat Chayei Sarah. If it had no connection at all to the Sedra, it's still a beautiful song. Here it is, Shirley Ginsberg, Chasdei Hashem.
Chasdei Hashem, ki lo yisomnu, ki lo yicholu, rachamo. Chasdei Hashem, ki lo yisomnu, ki lo yicholu, rachamo. Chasdei Hashem, ki lo yisomnu, ki lo yicholu, rachamo. Chasdei Hashem, ki lo yisomnu, ki lo yicholu rachamo. Va'ani, va'ani, bechasdech avotachti, yogei libi bishuvosecho. 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 Tarararirararira, tarararirararara, tarararararoi, tirirararara. Chasdei Hashem, ki lo yisomnu, ki lo yicholu, v'irachamo. Chasdei Hashem, ki lo yisomnu, ki lo yicholu, rachamo. Chasdei Hashem, ki lo yisomnu, ki lo yicholu, v'irachamo. Chasdei Hashem, ki lo yisomnu, ki lo yicholu rachamo. Va'ani, va'ani, bechasdech avotachti, yogei libi bishuvosecho. Va'ani, va'ani, bechasdech avotachti, yogei libi bishuvosecho. Va'ani, va'ani, bechasdech avotachti, yogei libi bishuvosecho. Da 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 da
Shirley Ginsberg. Let me wrap up things by saying that Chaye Sara does not have any mitzvot among the 613 mitzvot of the Torah, but it does. What I mean by that is that none of the mitzvot are counted from Chaye Sara, but we certainly have issues that are related to mitzvot. For example, in Parshat Ki Teitzeh, we have the mitzvah to bury the dead. In Chaye Sara, we have a living and breathing example of Avraham tending to this mitzvah to bury Sarah. And we can't help but make the connection, and I believe we're supposed to make the connection. Elsewhere in the Torah, we have the mitzvah that relates to marriage. Here in Chaye Sara, we have, again, a living and breathing example from which we draw many of the details of the process of marriage, especially by the hands of an agent, a shaliach. And even when it is not a halachic detail, we have the origins of some of the customs that are involved in the issue of a Jewish marriage. The purchase by Avraham of Me'orat HaMachpelah and Chevron is very important as setting certain precedents as far as our claim and our possession of Eretz Yisrael. We also have one part of the famous Gezerah Shavah that teaches us that one of the methods by which a marriage takes place is through the transfer of money or something of monetary value. The almost universal practice of using a gold ring evolved from kesef, and kesef is taught to us in connection with the transaction by which Avraham acquired Me'orat HaMachpelah and Stei HaMachpelah from Ephron. At the very end of the Sedra, we have Yishmael, who seems to come back on the scene after having been banished many years earlier, and the flavor of the wording in the Torah seems to indicate our tradition that Yishmael did tshuva, he repented in his later years, and he died a righteous individual. And the Torah records that death using very similar language to that of the beginning of the Sedra, when it says, Ve'ele shnei chaye Yishmael, these are the years of the life of Yishmael, just like it had said with Sarah, and it counts it out in a similar way, Me'at shana, 100 years, Ushloshim shana, and 30 years, Ve'sheva shanim, and 7 years, rather than using the straightforward number, 137, 130 and 7 is very, very reminiscent of Sarah's 120 and 7. So too do we find a list of Yishmael's 12 children. Last week we had a list of Nochar's 12 children. We know that we're coming up with 12 children from Avraham to Yitzchak to Yaakov. Neither Avraham nor Yitzchak had the 12 children on their own, but that number seems to be the round number for the establishment of a people, and it shows up in these different ways. One quick word about the Haftorah. It is very parallel to the Sedra, as most of the Haftorahs are. Here we have the aged King David, as we had the aging Avraham, with the concern for continuity, the concern in the Haftorah's case of Bathsheba, that her son Shlomo should be the heir to the throne, even though there were other possibilities, just as Yitzchak had competition, we'll say, for the role of being the heir to Avraham from Yishmael, and other parallels as well, making it a particularly appropriate Haftorah, ending with the words, Yechi Adoni HaMelech David LaOlam, which is very similar to David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. And on that note, let me bid you all a Shabbat Shalom and L'Hishtameah. Shalom.
Bye.